Psalm 20. This is a plea for help. You ever had a cry out for help?
Yes.
Yeah? More than once?
Many times.
Yeah, well, it's likely that Israel was facing some distress, and this was a prayer, but it was also a prayer of assurance, too. It's full of assurance. Not just that, you know, sometimes you cry for help, but you're not really expecting any. Have you ever done that? You know, even if you ask somebody for help, you might ask somebody for help, but you don't have much hope that they're going to help you. Well, this is different. This is there's a blessed assurance, as we sung earlier, that God will help his people. And when we read this psalm, there's great encouragement in it. It's a psalm full of encouragement for when we are in distress or trouble, that God will hear and God will answer. So as we go through it, we see it's like a prayer for the people of God. And you want to know something, that there is somebody who is always praying for you. You might think there's nobody praying for you at times. It's wonderful to have people praying for you, isn't it?
Yes.
I'll tell you, it's a wonderful thing to have people praying for you. Lady called me to this evening, Mary Bartlett. Some of you have met her. She is just 92 or 93. I don't know. She just
sat. Think she's older than that now.
Well, I don't know. Maybe she's 95 now. She doesn't seem to get any older when you talk to her on the phone. And praying every day. And she said, I set aside a special time for you and Marie every day. Every day. I knew that the Lord was going to shrink those tumors. I told you that on the phone 4 months ago. I said, yes, you did, Mary. And she is a woman of prayer. And I said, Mary, you can't die. You have to stay alive to keep praying for us. But the beauty of that is that our prayers will follow even after we leave this world. God doesn't forget one prayer. And often prayers will go down generations, and the grandchildren will come to know the Lord because of a grandfather or grandmother's fervent prayer. And they may not live to see the answer, but God will still work. It's wonderful to have praying people. And she's excited about Shetty Camp, and she prays for this place, for Shetty Camp, every day as well. That doesn't avoid her list. She has a long list, and that's what she spends her time doing, talking to God. Well, this is what he introduces this psalm with. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. Now, there seemed like there was a day of trouble looming. And when trouble is looming, is it the Lord that we turn to first? Is he the one that we cry out to and we wait upon? Or do we hit the panic button first? Well, sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. But here's the place to look to. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. Now, for the Lord to answer you in the day of trouble, what have you been doing? Asking, right? May the Lord answer you, but it's presupposed here that you're praying, that you're seeking God. May he answer you in the day of trouble. Oh, yes. And he delights to do that. Remember, the Holy Spirit is working through David to pen these truths to us. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. So we see these beautiful words that are given here to cause us to reflect and stop and realize, I have someone to pray to. I have someone to turn to in the day of trouble. How often I have thought in the last few months, oh, how do people manage without the Lord? What do they do when calamity comes? What do they do when your world comes crashing down around you? Where do they turn? And it's beyond me to think or imagine what it would be like to be without God when devastating trouble comes. Isn't it wonderful to have the Lord? To have the Lord to turn to? And to be able to point people to the Lord in the middle of their trouble. Just today, my sister-in-law in PEI, I was working on the computer and I got a pop-up on Facebook. She said, I want you to pray for a woman who lost her husband just 2 weeks ago. And I said, I will definitely pray for her. Her name was Angelia Bourgeois. Mm-hmm. But guess where she's from?
Shedigan.
Huh?
Shedigan.
No.
Bourgeois.
Bourgeois, not from Shedigan.
You're a Bourgeois.
No.
States?
Metagan, around that one.
No.
Madeline Island.
No. Is there bourgeois in Madeline Island? Yeah,
yeah,
no. Gordon and I are the only two people that have been to this place.
Louisiana. Oh, no, Louisiana.
Louisiana. She's from Church Point, Louisiana.
Oh,
yeah.
Point.
Point d'Église, yeah. Church Point, Louisiana. And her, and so she connected me up with her, and I was able to pray with her through Facebook, just writing out. I just kept writing out a prayer. And both her and my sister-in-law were crying at the end of it. That's what they said to me anyway. And now I have an open door to minister to this lady there. There's hope in the Lord. There's a place to turn to when all your foundations are crumbled, when everything falls apart. Thank God that there's a God to answer us in the day of trouble. Isn't it wonderful to know that? Because we all know trouble comes, right? It comes, and sometimes it comes in threes and fours and fives, but we have the Lord to look to. And the request is, may the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. And I tell you, he will answer you. He may not answer you exactly the way you want him to answer you, but he will answer you if you look to the Lord. And may the name of the God of Jacob protect you. Now, in the Old Testament, that was the name Yahweh, or the one that's used right here. May the Lord, L-O-R-D, which is the great I Am, who was the God of Jacob. And that was a term that was often used to refer that he had been the God of Israel up till then, and he would still be the God of Israel. But he's the God of the church. And of course, we have that name revealed in the New Testament that is above every name. And what is that name?
Jesus.
Jesus, right? The name that is above every name. Because Jesus is God who saves. He is Messiah, deliverer. He is all of these things. He is the Lord come to earth to come for us. And so there's an answer and there's protection. And then we see in Psalm 20, verse 2. I'm going to shrink this down a bit here. He says, may he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. What is he saying here? What's the sanctuary?
The family of God.
Okay. The sanctuary. Today we're the temple of the living God. But where is there was an earthly tabernacle in the Old Testament, wasn't there?
Yes.
And then there was a heavenly tabernacle that we discover in the new. The earthly one's gone. We don't go looking for the Ark of the Covenant, even if Indiana Jones does, we don't, okay? We are looking to the heavenly tabernacle. From the sanctuary of heaven, God will send help and give you support from Zion. Zion was the Jerusalem in the Old Testament. Now we look to the heavenly Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem. From God's dwelling place, from God's throne, may he send you help. Boy, it's nice to get help. Nice to look for help, and it's nice to find help, but you can't find a better place to get help from than from the very throne of God.
So King David is talking, referring to the Zion of heaven, from heaven, the New Jerusalem from heaven.
Well, he was more referring in the context that he was in. He was speaking of the sanctuary, because that's where God said he would set his name.
The earthly
because God represented
the holies and whatnot.
Yes, yeah. God, yes, represented himself through that
yes,
meeting place. But now we have access to go, the Bible says, into the Holy of Holies. We can come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain help in time of need.
Yeah.
That we come, the Hebrew says, by a new and living way, we come into the presence of God. That once there was a veil where even the common person couldn't go past the outer courts. They couldn't get into the Holy of Holies. They were denied that. And it was pictured in the temple where that big veil was there. And that veil was ripped in two when Jesus died, signifying the way is made open into the presence of God. So there's help. that you may obtain help in time of need, it says in the book of Hebrews, that you get support from Zion. God is our refuge and strength. Psalm 46 says, a very present help in time of trouble.
I was kind of thinking that he said, may he send you help from sanctuary, okay, and give you support from Zion, that the support would be through his people, the other people, like the priests and whatnot, the Jewish priests and whatnot. I was kind of looking
this
at
is
that
direct support from God.
Directly from God.
Now, God uses his people.
That's what I mean.
God uses all kinds of things to bring that help.
Yeah.
But he ultimately, we look beyond all the circumstances and we look into the face of God. Mm-hmm. May he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. Now this is not that your offerings win the favor of God, but what he says here is that he remembers your faith, because the sacrifices that were made in the Old Testament were made by faith. By faith, they offered up the sacrifices that they did. And why was it by faith? Because God told them to do it, therefore they did it. Did they fully understand the implication of those sacrifices? Probably not. They didn't realize that all of the burnt offerings and sacrifices of the Old Testament were to be fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. But they offered those sacrifices because God called for them. They couldn't present to the Lord the sacrifice of his son, Jesus Christ, because he hadn't yet been sacrificed. But what they did do was by faith believe that as they offered these sacrifices, that God made them acceptable through the coming blood of Jesus Christ. And so there is this sense of, may God honor the faith that you had in taking these sacrifices before the Lord. But listen, now in the New Testament, we have no more sacrifice for sins. We have one sacrifice for sins forever. That is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And so it is that sacrifice by which we come into the presence of God. It is by this new and living way. It's by this eternal sacrifice that has been made, so that there is no more sacrifice for sins, and that we have blessed assurance that we can come into the throne of grace to obtain help in time of need. The Old Testament person had to go to the priest, as Colin mentioned, and he couldn't get all the way in. And then the priest had to go on his behalf. Now we come to Jesus Christ, who is the great high priest forever, who goes on our behalf into the throne of grace, and he intercedes for us. The Bible says he now ever intercedes for us. So, this is the prayer or the statement that is made from the psalmist here, that we have the Lord answering, we have the name of God protecting us, we have help from God, we have support from God, and we have God who knows all about us, and he knows our cry, and he knows our faith. And then he says this, may he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. Wow. Is that rich?
Yes.
My goodness. Why could he say that? Does God grant your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans?
When we seek him.
When we trust in the Lord with all of our heart and not lean on our own understanding. And we have the promise of God that when we have that God will give us the desires of our heart if we are trusting in the Lord. Trust in the Lord, he'll give you the desire of your heart. Because the desire of your heart becomes what? When you're trusting in the Lord, what does the desire of your heart become?
The Lord. Desire.
God's desires, that's right.
Delight yourself.
Also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Put your faith in God. And as you delight in him, his desires become your desires. Sometimes we don't get a lot of answered prayer because we're off in la-la land. The Bible says we in James chapter 4, we have not because we ask not. And then when we ask amiss. We ask for the wrong things because our focus is in the wrong direction. But, oh, listen, he will grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. May he do these things for you. May we shout for joy over your salvation. And in the name of our God, set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Why? This is rich, is it not? This is joy. This is wonder. This is God coming and helping us. But it isn't just meager. It isn't just scraping by. It isn't just, oh, may God get you through this hole and get you over the next hump, and may you get to the next hump, and may you make it, don't you get there? It's not it. Christianity offers more. He says, granting us our heart's desires. He says, fulfilling all your plans. He says, shouting with joy over our salvation, joying in salvation. You know, salvation is a wonderful thing to have, and we ought to be waking up in the morning and shouting with joy. Every day is a new day with God. Mm-hmm. Salvation is something that can never be taken away from us. Everything else can be stripped, but we can shout with joy for the salvation that we have in God. Mm-hmm. And then he says, in the name of our God, we set up our banners. Now, what were banners for? What did banners represent?
Victory.
Victory? What else?
Surrender. Sometimes it's surrender if it's white. Celebration.
Celebration?
Yeah.
Okay, anything else? When you went forth to war and you carried the banner into the battle, what did that banner represent?
Your leader.
That's right. It represented your country. It represented your leader. Right? It represented who you stood for, who you were fighting for, who you were living under, the one that you worshiped, the one that you praised, the one that was first in your experience. That's your banners. In the name of our God, we set up our banners. We set up our banners in the name of the Lord. We stand with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that we stand under. He's the banner that we hold high and we go forward with. This is the picture. This is the picture of going into battle. This is the picture of trouble. And it was very likely that as David was penning this psalm, that Israel was facing a battle of some kind. And there was, as they were going to go forward, they were going to go forward trusting in God. They were going to go forward knowing that the Lord was going to be with them. And they were going to go forward in the name of Jesus Christ. Therefore, in the name of Jehovah, in the name of God, they were setting up their banners. We go forward in the name of Jesus. He's our banner. He's our flag. Not Canada. No, not United States of America. But in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we go forward. We set up our banners. Isn't that a good picture? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, when you set up a banner, what does it say?
Trusting
him. Okay, you're trusting in him. What else?
Victory.
Victory. You're moving forward. What else does it say?
Statement.
It's a statement. It's a bold statement, is it not? Mm-hmm. It's saying, I'm hanging everything on this person, on this country. This is where I stand. And there's no shame, is there? There is no shame to hold up the banner. Say, I am marching under the banner of Jesus Christ. There's an old song that says, marching on, marching on, 'neath the banner of the cross. I think it goes like something like that. And that's the idea behind it. In the name of our God, we set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions, all your plans, all your petitions. May the Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. You have a great salvation tonight. We should be a people who have much to rejoice in, a confidence. If there's no confidence in these first five verses, boy, I tell you, there's petition, but there's not petition futile. There is petition with great confidence that God is with us, that God is taking his people forward, and that we go forward expecting answered prayer. Expecting God to meet the need. Expecting God to fulfill our plans. And that doesn't mean we make up our own grandiose ideas and then we say, now God, you come alongside. But it means that I have spent time in the presence of God. It means that I have trusted the Lord and God has laid things on my heart. And then I turn them around in prayer and I have a confidence that God is going to answer prayer. Isn't that wonderful to live that way?
Yes.
Hallelujah. It is wonderful to be trusting the Lord. and seeing the Lord fulfill all our petitions. Because he says in Psalm 26, now I know, there's the confidence, I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven. Now we're going way beyond the Jerusalem and the earthly. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand. There's great confidence here. I know the Lord saves his anointed. I know that God is in control. And I know that he saves. Now who are the anointed of the Lord?
We are.
You know, Jesus was the anointed one from God. Mm-hmm. He was that Messiah. And yet he has called out you and me to be his anointed. And he has anointed us with the Spirit of God. He has made us, he has sealed us, the Bible says, with the Holy Spirit. We are sealed till the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit. The book of Ephesians teaches us this. And so I know that the Lord saves his anointed. I know it. I'm sure of it. Isn't it good to be sure of that? The Lord saves his anointed. Isn't it wonderful to know that on the journey of life, when you do go through the deep trials, to know the Lord saves his anointed? Wasn't it wonderful if you only had one verse in the Bible and that was the verse you had? I know the Lord saves his anointed. What peace, what comfort you would have. What experience you would have in the midst of every trial, you'd be able to say that over and over. I know the Lord saves his anointed. Sometimes I think it would be good if we only had one verse of scripture every once in a while to hang our hat on, because we'd learn that one verse and we'd begin to believe God for that one verse. I remember talking to a lady one day on the phone, and we were talking about worry and fret, and she was going through stress and worry and worrying about a lot of stuff. I said, isn't it a shame that we don't believe the Bible? And she got indignant at me. She says, what? I believe every word in the Bible. I said, no, you don't, dear, and sometimes I don't either. I said, if we're worrying, if we're fretting, if we're filled with fear, are we actually believing
that, moment, no.
that word? Are we trusting the word of God right there? And suddenly the light came on and she realized, oh, yeah, I guess you're right there. Yeah. The indignation left. Yeah. We need. What's that?
Getting warm back here.
Getting hot?
I haven't brushed this.
She has it there.
I had to take it off the wall. The sun it wouldn't come on.
And you know, the answer comes from his holy heaven. Sometimes in our desperation, we look everywhere for answers. We try to create the answers ourselves. Sometimes we try to get answers from other people. And sometimes we're looking everywhere but his holy heaven. The answers come from God. You know, if we would learn early on, if we got a problem, it's God that's going to fix it. Not somebody else, not our scheming, not our planning. All of that will end up getting us nowhere at the end of the day. In the end, we'll have to find ourselves calling out to God and looking for God to do something that only God can do. And listen, when that happens, then we see the miraculous. Then we see the hand of God moving. Because I know sometimes, even for in people's lives, sometimes I've tried so hard to fix people, and I'm afraid I'm like, well, the king's horses and all the king's men. I can't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. Only God can do that. Only God can do it. Now, he might use you, but he might not. And we just can't be so vain or foolish to think that we can be Mr. Fix-It and fix everybody's problems, because we can't even fix our own. We need the Lord. It comes from his holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand. Oh, that's so much better than what I could do or what anybody else could do. Yes, sometimes God will use you, but sometimes we'll think we need to fix and we'll make things worse. And God says, get out of the way. Get out of my way so I can deal with this situation. And so sometimes he's had to give me a good slap on the side of the head, straighten me around, get me out of the way. But it's a good slap. He loves us. And he loves his people. And he's the good shepherd. Trust him with situations and circumstances. The best place that we could go in every circumstance, whether we're in trouble or somebody else is in trouble, is where?
Prayer.
To prayer. Oh, let us learn that. Let us grow in it. Let us deepen in the place of prayer. I shared at the camp banquet as we spoke about the children who were fainting at the top of every street. And the instruction from the book of Lamentations chapter 2 verse 19 was to pour out your heart to the Lord. That was the instruction. In the place of devastation, pour out your heart to the Lord. In the smallest matters, pour out your heart to the Lord. In the circumstances, if you see a need somewhere, go to prayer first. That doesn't mean you don't go and do something, but go to prayer. Bring it before the Lord. Seek his wisdom and direction as you go out and reach out and help where you can. It is the saving might of his right hand. In the Bible, the right hand was the place of power. And so the expression that's given here is that it is the saving might of his powerful hand. His power, God's power at work. I love that because it says it's the saving might of his right hand. And so we come to Psalm 20, verse 7, and this is a great little verse that last week as we did Psalm 19, I sang you a little bit of scripture from these passages. And we see here, this verse of scripture also has been put to music at some point. And in Psalm 20, verse 9, it says, "Save the King, may he answer us when we call." Here's a little ditty that I've sung many times when I've seen trouble and trial. Some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Save, Lord, save, Lord, let the King hear us when we call. Save, Lord, save, Lord, let the King hear us when we call. Now, what does it mean? Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. What does that mean?
Some trust in their worldly ways.
Okay. Let's think about it in the context of Israel.
The flesh.
Yeah.
What does chariots and horses represent?
Power.
Their might, their power. It trusts their ability. When you were going to go to battle, okay, Leonard and I are going to battle. He's the king of Syria and I'm the king of Israel. So Leonard looks and he sees, well, I've got this many chariots and I've got this many horses. I've got my might here. And I look at mine and say, well, I only got this many and this many. I haven't got enough to beat him. What am I going to do here? Well, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we remember the name of the Lord our God. Aren't there great accounts in the scriptures of how God used a small little group to defeat a great and mighty army? Don't you see that pattern repeated over and over again in the Old Testament? When Gideon went with 300 men against hundreds of thousands and he won. When Jehoshaphat was called to go and fight a battle and that battle was impossible. And they stood before the Lord. The Bible says the men, the women, the children, all the families came and stood before the Lord. They didn't know what to do, but they said, "Our eyes are upon you."
Amen.
Amen. And what happened? God told them to go forward, set the singers first, he said. Never mind the warriors, put the singers out in front and get them singing, get them praising. And that's what they did. They went singing and praising. And what happened? Victory came. Defeat happened, and victory happened for Israel. Put the singers in front, they said. Put the ones who are praising God. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was going to go forward battle against an army much bigger than me, I would prefer to have a sword and a shield rather than a voice to sing. But there was a trust in God. They got the instructions from the Lord. They went forward, and God gave them the victory. What happens when we trust in the Lord, in the name of the Lord our God? They collapse and fall, but we rise and stand upright. And that wasn't an easy thing to trust God with, was it? That's for sure. And it is an amazing thing to find ourselves in an impossible place. And God allows you to go to impossible places. I know a lot of times you've complained about getting in an impossible place. You look at things, you say, that'll never happen. You look at a task, you say, I don't see how it'll ever get done. And God deliberately brings you there. You know, when the children of Israel came out of the land of Egypt, the Lord took them out with a high hand. And they were on the march, and they were on the move. And boy, they were happy. They had the world by the tail. They had spoiled the Egyptians. They had all the wealth of Egypt with them. They were no longer slaves. They were free. They were dancing in the desert. And God led them into a cul-de-sac. He led them to a place where they were surrounded by water. And Pharaoh was coming after them. So here's the armies of Pharaoh coming this way. There's the Red Sea there. And they come, when they got in this trap, they started shouting and complaining, why have we been led out here to die in the wilderness? And God deliberately led them into a cul-de-sac. He put them in an impossible place. So next time you're in an impossible place, don't complain so loud. Trust the Lord. The Lord will make a way somehow. Now that was a pretty amazing way. I mean, it was one thing to see them get out of Egypt and start towards the promised land. It was one thing to have all the victories they'd had, but this was a little bit bigger. This was an ocean in front of them. This was a sea in front of them and an army behind them raging down upon them, and only when they got really on their doorstep, then the pillar of fire protected them and held them back, the armies of Pharaoh. That should have been enough, but it still wasn't. They still complained. Listen, God is revealing his arm, his hand towards you in the midst of trouble, in the midst of circumstance, in the midst of planting a church in Shetty Camp. Who said it was going to be easy? I never said it was going to be easy, but God will make a way somehow.
Okay. Yes. I can feel the flames of that fire from here.
Which fire?
What do you got that on, 100?
You hear that part? Yeah. You're having hot flashes, Joe.
I'll say
I'm comfortable.
Is.
The more he's talking about fire, I can feel the flames. Right? Feels like you got that on. Good.
I don't know if it is or not. They're enjoying the heat down there.
Oh, you guys, I thought I closed the window. I thought they were hot.
I'm perfectly comfortable. We have a Savior tonight, friends. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Mm. Our faith is in the Lord. Don't look at how much you have in your hand. Don't look at how much we can do with our meager little lot here. Look to the Lord. He saves with his might of his right hand. We will remember the name of the Lord our God. Have faith in God. May the Lord send you help from his sanctuary. May we discover his faithfulness and his goodness. And we will discover the victory that God can bring. Our enemies are not flesh and blood. They aren't people who might oppose us or come against us. They are spiritual wickedness in high places, and we have somebody higher than those. We have Jesus Christ, who is seated at the right hand of the Father. We have one who is seated far above all principalities and powers. That is the Lord Jesus. Oh, my friends, we are not on the losing side of things. They collapse and fall, but we rise and stand upright. And so the psalmist looks to the Lord himself and says, O Lord, save the king. May he answer us when we call. Now, there's different opinions of the translation of this, and I believe the translation is really, let the king hear us when we call. The translation to me is really a prayer of faith, and I think the NKJV says that right here in Psalm 20, verse 29. Save, Lord, may the king answer us when we call. I think that's the better rendering of it, because it's King Jesus that we are looking to. It's King Jesus where the answers come. Didn't we find earlier it says, the Lord send you help. It was to call on the Lord. It was all the face of a person who's looking at the Lord. You know, the Bible says in another psalm, they looked on him and their faces were lightened and they were not ashamed. They were not disappointed. And we won't be either. Save, Lord. May the King answer us when we call. God saves. That is the very title of Jesus. Joshua is the name of Jesus in the Old Testament, and the rendering in the New Testament is Jesus. I don't know if you knew that Jesus and Joshua meant the same, and they mean God who saves. And we have titles like Emmanuel, God with us, right? This is the Savior that we have. This is the one. Let's read this psalm again, just reading it through. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifices, Selah, which is a pause. May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. We will rejoice in your salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. Save, Lord. May the King answer us when we call. Amen. Amen. Wow. No wonder we could get up shouting praises to the Lord. No wonder it says, we will rejoice in your salvation. In the name of our God, we will set up our banners. We're on the victory side. In Shady Camp, we're on the victory side. Amen. In Pleasant Bay, we're on the victory side. In Dingwa, we're on the victory side. Let's look to the Lord. Let's look to him. Let's believe just what he says. Lord, give us direction, O God. We come in the name of Jesus tonight, Lord. And we ask for your direction, O God. We ask, O God, that our petitions would be from your heart really to us and back to you, O God. May we, Lord, have a great and bold confidence in you, Lord. Oh, let the King hear us when we call tonight. Lord, we ask for salvation in Shady Camp, Lord. Yes. We ask for souls to be saved. Yes. We pray, Lord, for this lady, Lord, if she's not a Christian who lost her husband, that she'll be saved, Father, that she'll be one to you, that she'll know you as her Savior. Yes. If she is, that she'll be encouraged, yes. Lord. Lord, open doors of opportunity, yes. And maybe even Lewis going to visit her and encouraging her, oh God. Yes. Lord, we pray that we would see salvation spring up in all the villages, Lord, that we would see victory upon victory, oh God. Lord, don't let us cower. Don't let us, Lord, think that we can't go forward in victory. Don't let us be defeatist, O Lord, in our attitude, O God. Maybe we've had a meeting, and Lord, sometimes we say, what's the point in having another when nobody came the first time? But Lord, let us persist in well-doing, because you have promised us we shall reap if we faint not. Let us be, Lord, willing to trust you and go forward in every way we can to reach our community for Jesus Christ, because, Lord, we are on the victory side. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, as we continue in prayer tonight, oh, Spirit of God, fall upon us, Lord. Take away, Lord, a spirit of discouragement from us, oh God. Take away from us, oh Lord, defeatist attitude, and give to us, Lord, a confidence in our God, that in the name of God we are setting up our banners, that we are going forth in the name of the Lord. That as we have confidence and boldness, Lord, as we look to you, as we trust in you, for the circumstances individually in our lives, Lord, for the troubles that we are in right now, Lord, Lord, for the church here in Chetty Camp, oh God, for your gospel going forth on this island, Lord, for the ministry of Cape Breton Bible Camp, Lord, for every ministry, for every trial, for every problem that we face, Lord, we come in the name of Jesus. We seek your face. In Jesus' name, amen.